I want you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, and I'd like to read some from the 33rd chapter, beginning at the first verse. You know, as a rule, we don't pay very much attention to the Word of God, but we should pay special attention to God's Word, special attention. You might say, well, Brother Pipe, why do you feel that we should pay special attention to God's Word? For this reason, the only way that a human being can escape death is to hear the Word of God. You say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. I just don't feel that. Well, I'm going to tell you again, if you go by feelings, if you go by what somebody told you, if you go by what you've heard, if you go by what you think, you're going to be lost. There is absolutely no way for a human being to escape death without hearing the Word of God. Unless you hear the Word of God, you're going to die. And then when you hear it, you've got to believe it. If you don't believe it, even after you hear it, you still will perish. So then you must hear the Word of God. If there is any other way to escape death other than hearing the Word of God, then I would like to for somebody to come and tell me about it. I'd like for them to give me any scripture in the Bible, bring any person anywhere in the world that you can get a hold of, and let him show me one place where man can escape death without hearing the Word of God. There is no way. He must hear the Word of God. And the Bible said, how can he hear unless he have a preacher? He must have a preacher, because that's the way that hearing comes. Hearing comes by the Word. How can they hear lest they have a preacher? How can he preach lest he be sent of God? The Bible said, our words have gone into the ends of the earth, but who hath believed our report? Now, the Word of God is preordained to go to the ends of the earth, but who is going to believe the preacher? Who's going to believe the report? That's the one that'll be saved, is the one that hath faith. By faith in the Word of God, you are translated into the kingdom of God as Enoch was. Otherwise, there is no heaven. There is no place of security for you. I know that when I say these things, I've got hundreds of years of tutoring from denominations and all kind of things that's in the minds of the people that comes rolling or whirling at me. But it doesn't make any difference. When you know the Bible and you've been through the Bible and you understand the Bible, you don't worry about all of those things. Before I understood, I worried about all those things because I thought, well, maybe I'm wrong about it because I don't know. But today I do know. You say, oh, you're so sure, but you might. They ain't no so sure about it. You might nothing about it. There is a way to know. The Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life. There's a way to know. If there's no way to know, and if anybody could be wrong and everybody could be wrong, then there'd be no need to preach. There is a gospel. There is a way to know. To know. And through the grace of God, I know. I made it my business to call on the Lord for over 20 years to find out. And I know that there ain't no other way but this way. And all of the denominations and their teachings mean nothing. I've talked to some of the greatest scholars in the world in most all of the denominations, and it means nothing. Billy Graham has given his life to it, but that don't prove anything. 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, comment in just a few minutes here on this. If you'll notice, God said he set the watchman, and the watchman was to warn, and that the watchman would be capable of warning, and that the watchman could see the sword coming, whereas the people couldn't. Said, and if this watchman sees the sword coming, and if he doesn't warn the people, said they'll die in their iniquity. Now I want you to get that now. See? If the watchman does not warn them, somebody said, well, it doesn't make any difference. If he don't, God will save them. That's not what the Bible says. If that watchman doesn't warn them, they'll die in their iniquity. That's why the Bible teaches that the gospel must first be published in all of the world for a witness. Every creature must hear the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because every creature must have a chance to believe, because there is no way to be saved unless he can believe. And he cannot believe unless the word of the Lord comes to him. Even in the days of Abraham, and even in the days of Noah, and the days of Enoch, when there was no preacher, God brought the word to them. And the Bible said the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. And the word of the Lord came unto Enoch and all of those people. See, the word of the Lord must come, because there is no God but the Word. The Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word is still God. The Word came forth, put on flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him as the only begotten Son of God. It was still God, clothed in flesh, in the form of humanity. And the Word was made a human being and walked as a man called Jesus. Now who was it? It was the only one and eternal holy God. God is a spirit. He made himself into a human body. And the Bible said he walked in the presence of human beings, and they still didn't recognize that he was God. So he turned them over to a reprobate mind. Now, see, the sword must come, but the watchman must be watching to make sure that the people are warned before the sword can slay the people. Now, if the watchman doesn't do that, then God said, George Pike, I set thee a watchman. If you see the sword coming and you don't warn the people, those people will die in their sins and in their iniquity. But I will require their blood at your hand, George Pike, in the day of the judgment. That's the responsibility of the preacher. That's why I don't go along with a bunch of people that call themselves preachers. It's a hit and a miss. After a dollar and wanting a little fame and popularity, and just preach anything to get into some kind of ministerial association so that people will elevate them and they can have a congregation. I don't go along with people like that, because a watchman is the man of God, and he's got a responsibility, And if he doesn't obey God, he'll have blood on his hand. I had a vision years ago where I looked and had blood on my hand. I was trying to get it off in the vision. See, and the Bible teaches that that blood rests upon our hands until we can deliver our soul. And when Paul preached to them, he said, your blood be on your own head. I preach to you. That's New Testament preaching. And here the Old Testament bears it out. He said, I will require their blood at your hand because they will die in their iniquities. Now here's another thought. If everybody is going to be saved, I want you to listen to me now just as I reason with you a little bit. If everybody like Billy Graham is going to be saved, Johnny Cash is going to be saved. Billy was talking about fellowship and Johnny and how that all was going to be saved. And Elvis Presley is going to be saved. And all these people, Bing Crosby and Groucho Marx and Bob Holt and Jack Benny and all these that go to church now, the Baptist and the Methodist and the Presbyterian and the Pentecostals, if all of these are going to be saved, then where is the wicked? Somebody needs to tell me then, where is the wicked? If all of these people are going to be saved doing their evil deeds, then why am I bothering to waste my time and to waste God's time telling people to repent of their sins? What sins have they got to repent of? I see somebody tell me something. If you can't explain it to me, then let me explain it to you. First of all, Billy Graham's doing wrong. The Bible said, condescend to men of low estate. He hasn't condescended to men of low estate. His fellowship is with the movie stars. His fellowship is with the celebrities. His fellowship is with the presidents. He goes with them to whatever they want to do. Bing Crosby over there playing golf. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, there's nothing wrong with golf. Well, what's right with golf? The Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Does golf have any virtue in them? Man of God ain't got no business playing golf. That's a bunch of foolishness. Now, so then we see that those men are in violation. Playing golf hasn't got any virtue in them. Why doesn't Billy condescend to men of low estate? The Bible said if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. See, why does he insist on a rock and roll man being in heaven? Because as a child, he wanted to be a preacher. What's that got to do with it? He made the statement, said, the one thing that people don't know about Elvis Presley is the other side of him. Said from the time he was a child, he wanted to be a preacher. But what's that got to do with it? Paul said, if I preach the word even after I become a preacher, and if I don't keep my body under subjection to the Holy Spirit, I still will die and go to hell. I'll be a castaway. So then where is the wicked? Somebody tell me, where is the wicked? There's got to be somebody wrong in this world. Somebody said, well, that's them people that go out here and murder and kill and cheat and steal. You'll never convince me of that. See, that wasn't what Jesus said. Jesus said, you Pharisees and scribes that strain at a net, swallow a camel, you blind leaders of the blind, you all fall into the ditch. He didn't say about the murderers and all them other ones. Did he? He said it was the religious sect of people that was causing him trouble. He said, I would that you were hot or cold, a murderer or a Christian. You'd be better off. So then you can't just take the outlook, folks, that it's just the murderers and killers and liars, or them that are in prison, rather, going to hell. You can't take that outlook. I'm persuaded to believe that the people that have spent years in prison and have suffered for their crimes of killing and whatever, that they've got more opportunity to go to heaven than these people that are going around the other way. At least they've suffered some and paid for theirs, and these others haven't done anything but live it up and live in luxury. So I believe, as Jesus said, the drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom before you do. Well, who was he speaking of? We are the ones that stand and say, no, the drunkards and the harlots, that's the wicked folks. But we religious people, we've got it. But Jesus said, you religious people don't have it, and the drunkards and the harlots will go into the kingdom before you do. So then where does that put us when we go to preach about the wicked? Who is the wicked? Now, I feel that there is a way to serve God. And I understand of God that there is a way to serve God. And that way is the way called holiness. That's what the Bible says. There is a way to serve God. What kind of way? It is to repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, which Billy Graham hasn't done, and hundreds of thousands in the churches of God and in the Baptist and in the Methodist and in many multiplied churches haven't done, and yet that's what the Bible said do. Now, if that isn't right, why did God put it in the Bible? And why did God call me to preach it if it isn't right? Why did he call me to waste my time if Brother Charlie can go to heaven as a Trinity? Why did he call me to do that? If you can go to heaven as a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Pentecostal, why did God bother to call the ministry? Why did he say preach the word? Why bother to preach the word? If nobody's going to hear the word, nobody's going to obey the word, nobody's going to honor the word, then why preach the word? You understand what I'm saying? If you can just live any way you want to, do any way you want to, watch anything on television you want to, read anything in the papers you want to, have any kind of magazines in your home, go play football, play basketball, watch the any kind of games, any old thing, go through your Christmas ritualistics, everything that's contrary to God and contrary to God living, you do all that and go to heaven, why should I bother to preach the word? Folks, you can't do it. You're going to go to hell. That's what it is. You are going to go to hell for it because that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the custom of the people are vain. They're vain. Now, see, if I am a watchman and I see the sword coming, what do I see coming? I see the evils that's in the Playboy magazine coming. Is that right? But you should stay away from it. Somebody will say, I agree to it. I see the nudist books that they have on the stand. Stay away from them. You'll agree to it. But the nudist publications, it comes from places like Sears and Spiegel's and other people. You say, you're a fanatic. I'm not a fanatic. Them books are devilish and full of naked people and are not fit to be put in the mail, let alone to be found in your home. Them's not statues. Them are naked people, human beings that they take those pictures of. If it's right for you to sit and look at a naked person in a Sears and Roebuck catalog, don't you ever condemn a man for getting him a book from over yonder at the Playboy stand. Don't you never see nothing doing. You're in the mud hole just as much as he is. Nudeness is nudeness. I don't care if you find it in the church, if you find it outside the church, if you find it in the catalogs, if you find it on the billboards and the newspapers or television or wherever it's at. It's still ungodly and filthy. And if you look at it and let your children look at it, you are defiled. For the Bible said that we are to take our eyes away from any evil. Any evil. We're not to even discuss with one another those things that are done in secret. And the Bible said to shun the very appearance of evil, and that is evil. Now, if I see the sword coming, then what do I see? Just exactly what I'm telling you. That's the sword. That's coming. See, that's what brings the wrath of God upon you. The Bible said, because of your disobedience and iniquity cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, what is a child of disobedience? The Bible said, let the wicked forsake his ways. Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. And I brought this out a number of times. There is a wicked people that have a wicked way that they ought to get away from. Wicked people have wicked ways. But then there are some that God doesn't term as wicked, but he says they are unrighteous people because they don't think holy. The only way I can think holy is to shun the very appearance of evil. If my eyes look upon evil, I'm going to have thoughts of evil. Somebody said, oh no, Brother Pike, I can handle it. No, you're a liar. You can't handle it. God didn't make you to handle it. When you look on evil, you're going to think evil because that's what you're looking at. Whatever you give your eyes to, that's what you're going to be. If David of old's heart was after God's heart, holy and pure and right, and the first time he looked on the wrong thing, he become a fornicator, then that means that you are not going to escape it. If Eve was one of the purest women or women that ever lived, holy and upright, made that way, and yet when her eyes beheld the wrong thing, she sinned against God, then you're going to sin against God. Now, I know this preacher is a fanatic to some of you because you're too smart to listen to me. You're too intelligent, you know. You've got too much understanding. But you're going to die and go to hell, especially inasmuch as you are an example to the flock, because you are not crying out against sin and iniquity. I have a charge from God to lead you people and to tell you people to stay away from wrong. And all of these people talking about going to heaven with all this rock and roll, all of this denominational preaching, all of this, somebody say, well, Brother Pike, they're getting a 30-fold, and this one's getting a 60-fold, and that one's getting a 100-fold. You've got no Bible for that. Where'd you ever find any Bible for that? The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, or whatever. There is one thing you've got to have any kind of fold, and that is you've got to have holiness. And without holiness, no man is going to see the Lord. So I contend that all that these preachers are doing, if they go all the way across the world, all they're doing is just drawing a crowd. You say, but those people confess Christ. What do you mean, confess Christ? What do people mean when they say they confess Christ? The Bible said not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. I can stand here and confess Christ all night long, but I don't mean nothing. I'm not translated into the kingdom of God because I confess Christ. I'm translated into the kingdom of God by faith. Enoch wasn't translated into the kingdom of God because he confessed Christ. It was obvious that he didn't even know anything about Jesus or about Christ in that day, except by revelation, because they didn't even preach it in that day. He had not even yet died for the remission of sin, as far as the manifestation of it, even though he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world in the mind of God. You understand what I'm saying? So then it means that we've got to believe. That's what puts us in the kingdom of God. And what is it that we've got to believe? Somebody said, well, I believe, but what do you believe in? The Baptist, the Methodist, the Catholic, the Pentecostal, the Presbyterian. What do you believe in? That hasn't got anything to do with it. You'll go to hell believing in that. There's no virtue in that. The Bible teaches faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. And examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Which faith comes by the hearing of the Word? Now, if there's a hearing of the Word, a faith of the Word, then that means I've got to believe the Word. If I don't believe the Word, I don't have any faith as far as God's concerned. It doesn't matter what I believe. If I don't believe the Word, I still don't have any faith. I've got to believe the Word. If I'm going to have any faith, I've got to believe in the Word. That's the only thing that will translate me into the kingdom, is I must believe in God, and God is the Word. And the Word is spirit and life, and I must believe in that Word. And the only proof that I've got to humanity or to God that I believe in that Word is the fact that I will practice what that Word has commanded me to do. That I will be obedient to the Word. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. This is the heavenly vision. I must be obedient to the heavenly vision, obedient to the Word of God, and if the Word of God tells me to repent of my sins, I've got to repent of my sins. If the Word of God says there's a pool of water, like one writer said, here is water, who can forbid that these be baptized or should be baptized. Now, there was a pool of water. We know that he was talking about water. He said, there's water. It wasn't something you have to interpret. He says, here's water. He said, who can say that these should not be baptized that's received the Spirit as well as we? Somebody said, now, if you receive the Spirit, you don't have to be baptized. But they had received the Spirit. Said, seeing that God had given them the Spirit, same as he has us. But Peter said, still need to be baptized. All right, now, if it is needful that we be baptized, there must be a right way to be baptized. Somebody said, well, it doesn't matter. It certainly does matter. If it doesn't matter how you go down in the water and come out of the water, then let's quit preaching, because practically everybody at some times either gets in a tub or a bathtub or the creek or the ocean or something. And they've all had their baptism, because it don't make any difference. But God wasn't talking about water. He said there's salvation in none other name except the name of Jesus Christ, and that we are to be baptized in the name of His Son for the remission of sin. That's the way we're to be baptized. You say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, if it doesn't matter, we might as well close the book, forget about it, and all go to hell, because that's where we're going. It does matter. If salvation is in the name, then you are going to go to the name and through the name to ever get salvation. You can be baptized any way you want to. I've been baptized in a Baptist church in the Trinity titles. I've been baptized in the Church of God in Trinity, but I never found salvation until I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I've been baptized all of those ways, but it takes being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ before you find remission of sin, my brother. God said the watchman on the wall hath a job. And He tells us that we are to warn the people. And He said to the ministry, as My Father has sent Me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. And judgment will begin at the house of God. Whoever you bless, I'll bless. Whoever you curse, I'll curse. Now, it is a true fact that before Isaac's death, he blessed Jacob. And ever since the day that he blessed Jacob, God has held that blessing on Jacob, saying, whoever blesses Jacob will be blessed, whoever curses Jacob will be cursed. He held it. He bound it in heaven. Now, so then I'm saying this, folks. All of this thing about everybody going to heaven, that's wrong. Everybody ain't going to heaven. Don't let that go through your mind. Don't take the idea that the wicked is just somebody that killed somebody. If killing somebody makes a wicked man, and that's what it is, then the Lord sure messed up the kingdom. He sure messed up the gospel, and He sure messed up the Bible. Because He took a number of murderers. He took Moses that went down there and killed an Egyptian. Not only killed him, just cold-blooded murder and put him in the sand, but went back and was responsible later for just slaying the people of Egypt. But God made him a god and a leader. And nobody was ever more low down than David of old. David stooped lower than most any man in the Bible. He enticed a man off, defiled his wife, and committed murder, put the man out on the front line, and told Joab, said, put him up there in the front line so they'll kill him. I wouldn't even want a neighbor like that. Would you? But yet God made him a prophet. You understand what I'm saying? So then you can't say the murderers. You can't say that that's the wicked people, because there's been murderers that have been saved and live for God and turn their lives to God and become some of the greatest people that ever lived. And God even required that Abraham kill his own son, it appeared. And Abraham would have done it had it not been for the hand of God staying his hand. Now, Abraham killed many men, no doubt, in war. Went out and killed, fought a war, many others. And the men that fought in Korea, and the men that fought in Japan, or wherever the wars were, what about those men? You can't say that killing somebody is wicked. Then you say, well, Brother Pike, it's the way that you kill them. That's really getting technical, ain't it? The way that you kill them. In other words, if you're going to split a man's throat, it just depends on which end you start splitting at. No, I don't see that. If you're going to shoot him, it just depends on what you use to shoot him with. Or your reason for shooting him, we'll say. I don't see that either. I don't see that. Say, well, I think it's all right if you've got a good reason. Well, then if somebody gets a good reason to shoot you, there ain't no need of us saying nothing about it. I don't know what his reason would be, but I'm sure it would be a good one. I feel like that man that hijacked that plane in Atlanta felt like he had a good reason. But when he thought it over, he took his own life. Now, so what I'm saying is, in just talking to you a little bit tonight, what I'm saying is, it stirs me up. When I get these clippings and I read these things and I see the things that the world is saying and I see what the government's saying and I see what the churches are saying and I see the outlook of even some of our people here at Little Bethlehem, it really stirs me up. David said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. It stirred me. One of the writers said, I won't say nothing about it, but said, I burned like fire till I spoke. See, it's inside of me to speak against that. Because it isn't right. It isn't right. A man isn't going to have $400 million in this world and have that $400 million laid back and go to heaven. He isn't going to do it. If he does, the scriptures is broken, and the Bible teaches the scriptures cannot be broken. A man isn't going to spend his time playing golf out there and people going to hell, $400 million laying back there and go to heaven. God doesn't work like that. God isn't going to take a man that's called the king of the jazz like Bing Crosby was and take him to heaven. Neither is going to take Elvis Presley, king of rock and roll. Not only that, but unless Billy Graham comes to holiness, Billy Graham isn't going to heaven either. Neither is the Methodist or anybody else unless they come to holiness. You say, well, you just want them holiness preachers. There ain't no other preacher but a holiness preacher. Where'd you ever see another preacher outside of a holiness preacher? Because somebody went to some seminary and they hatched him off out of a seminary up there. That don't mean he's called to preach the gospel. You can run him through every school and college and seminary in the world. Let him read this Bible till he turns blue in the face. That don't mean nothing. I got a report, I believe it was today, a man that's got life in prison or whatever. And they said that he is a Bible genius as far as knowing the Word. So you can't go by that. Learning the Word of God, studying the Word of God, going to college, you have to be called of God. There has to be a holy unction from God, a holy calling from God. If you don't know your right hand from your left, God called you. Like the writer said in the Old Testament, he said, I wasn't a prophet. Said, I wasn't a prophet's son. But said, the Word of the Lord came unto me and said, go prophesy. See, that's the way God does it. He doesn't do it with seminary. That's just a lot of nothing out there. Those preachers are put on a salary to build a church to get a group of people to help make those denominations richer by causing them that come in every little town in a group to give their money. Now, I know there's some good people get mixed up in that mess because that's what it is. There's some good, holy people get mixed up in that mess that they've got out there that's called religion. But brother, let me tell you something. There isn't but one way, that's God's way. All the rest of it is a mess. And there isn't but one preacher, that's a holiness preacher. Now a holiness preacher is a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost, that's got the Spirit of God. If a man ain't filled with the Holy Ghost, he's not even a Christian, let alone a preacher. He's got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to even be a Christian. The Bible said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. And the Bible said, there's but one Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit. If you don't have it, you're none of His. So then that means that if we are a watchman and we see it coming, then we've got to warn the people. There is no such thing as Brother Pike, who pastors Little Bethlehem, and Brother John, who pastors the church over here in the next city, and Brother Joe that pastors the church in the next city. There ain't no such thing as that. That's our doings. That's man's doings. Denominations is man's doings. God never had anything to do with a denomination. Where did God ever set up a denomination? Where did God ever set up a system like that? That's something man does and split people into splinters and say, my mother was this and my daddy was this and our family's this. That's nothing. That's just like your Russian army and your American army and all the other army. It's just one big mess. Now, then you say, but Brother Pike, if it's not a pastor over here and a pastor over here and a pastor over there, then what kind of system is it? There's the fivefold ministry God has set in the church. And that fivefold ministry is the ministry over the entire flock of God throughout the world. Wherever that man is, the people are under his jurisdiction. If he preaches here tonight and yonder tomorrow and over yonder the next day, whereas Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, then the people are subject to his ministry, because he is called to preach the gospel to every creature, not to preach the gospel to the people of little Bethlehem. So there isn't any such thing. It is a true fact that out of that ministry, there are people that are 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold in their ministry, in that they might cut themselves off to pasture a little place over there and may never have the faith and courage to branch out into a greater service for God. But it doesn't change the fact that the ministry is sent to all the world. There is but one ministry. In all of this denominational system is nothing. Now, God has suffered a lot of this, that there might be a church built over yonder and a church built in another city and a church built in another country and a church built in another state. God has suffered all of that, just like he suffered the Jews to build the synagogues. But it's just like he said about them, said there won't be one of them stones left upon another. Said every last one of them, I'll tear them down. See, this is the temple of God. This is the house of God. We make melody in our heart to God. This is where we sanctify our hearts. This is where the Holy Spirit dwells. He don't dwell in buildings made with hands. So then, it's all right to have a church. It's all right to go out and do things. But the thing is, we need to understand and we need to know what God's program is, so that we don't get the people's mind warped up and get them off on some little something over here to where they get to believe and that's the move of God, and that when it's not what God's doing. You understand what I'm saying? So then, watchmen, if I set you there and you see the sword coming and you don't warn the people, I'll require their blood at your hand. I'm saying this. You beware of those kind of things. You beware of men like Billy Graham that won't live a holiness life, that won't condescend to men of low estate. You beware of preachers that have churches out there that they can go out and put their bathing suits on and go in swimming and frolic with the world. You beware of them that can go down, set the television and watch the ball games and watch the races. And you beware of them that can go out here with people that can go out to dinners and sit out there with the wicked and just sit out there and frolic with them. Now, I know Jesus said it's the sick that need a physician. But a lot of hypocrite preachers and a lot of hypocrite people use that for hypocritical means. When they want to get out there and frolic with the world or some of their relatives or something and go through the slop holes they go through, then they say, well, they say it's a sick that need a physician. But I tell you what, a sick physician couldn't help sick folks very much, could they? You don't need to get out there and get in the mess yourself. That wasn't what Jesus was talking about. Jesus never partook of their evil. Paul said, though I be with them that are without law, I am without law, yet not without law to God. So then, if I'm in Rome, I act like the Romans, I'll act like the Romans. If they got pork chop, I'll eat it. If they got whatever they got, if it ain't a violation of the Holy Scripture, I'll eat it. But when it comes to the Word of God, we're going to stay with the Word of God, whether we're in Rome or we're out in little Bethlehem. All right, so then I'm saying that we need to take Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, what is the leaven? Does that mean somebody's got a gun? Beware, somebody's going to shoot you. That wasn't what he was saying, is it? Don't beware of them vicious people out there. That wasn't what he was saying. He said, beware of the doctrine that those religious people are preaching. Come on now. If I'm right, say amen. If I ain't, say shut up. Now, let's just get down to the truth of it. He said, beware of them preachers out there. Somebody said, you ain't supposed to speak against nobody's religion. That's the biggest lie that Satan ever hatched up. That's a devil that more people have carried to their grave to go into hell with than most anything. Don't you ever say anything against nobody's preaching. Don't you say nothing against nobody's religion. If you do, I won't come back. You hypocrite. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, beware of the Pharisees. Beware of the scribes. Is that right? Beware of the Sadducees. Who was those Pharisees and Sadducees? They were followers of Moses. They had the Word of God, had the Word of God for years. They didn't have some Koran. They had the Word of God. Jesus said they strained it, an ant swatted a camel, and said they took away the key to knowledge. And said they won't obey the gospel, and they stand at the door, and everybody else coming in, they indoctrinate them with some doctrine that makes them think that they can play football and go everywhere they want to and frolic in the world and still go to heaven when they're going to hell. When they're twofold more the child of hell than they was to start with. And the Pharisees that left them on said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and leave it alone. Now, what am I to preach? The same thing. Amen. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, there's a difference in the day that we're living in. There certainly is a difference in the day that we're living in. There certainly is a difference. The Pharisees and scribes might have been in the hog pen up to their knees, but the church of today that's rejecting God is in the hog pen slap up to their neck, and their head's about to go under. That's the difference in it, all right. All right, so then when we consider the thing, the gospel, and what Jesus stood for, then they had a reason to kill him, don't you think so? Somebody said, well, why did they stone Stephen to death? Because he had a message, and the message said, stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart, you do always err even as your fathers did by resisting the Holy Ghost, showed it you, they said, kill him. Jesus said, a generation of vipers that stands at the door and takes away the key of knowledge, they said, kill him. I preach the gospel out here, they said, get rid of them people at Little Bethlehem. Come on, folks, that's exactly where it goes. All right, it's the same old devils just hiding behind the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals in this day that was hiding behind the Sadducees and the Pharisees in that day. Same old devils, demon spirits that's come down through the ages. I'm going to say this a little bit more here, and I'm going to close. I ain't going to keep you much longer. Now, I feel in my heart that it's my job to warn you. I have heard so many Pentecostals talk about Billy Graham and how that God was going to take Billy to heaven, and Billy was doing a great work. And then they go tell people they have to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and Pentecostals has got in such a rut till they got now to the place to where they say, well, you don't really have to have the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is believe. Now, where do you get that? See, you can get to heaven by believing, or you can get to heaven by having the Spirit. Or you can get to heaven by doing anything you want to. And so the Pentecostals wound up with the church, with the doctors, and they wound up with the Dennises, and they wound up with the Elvis Presleys and the Bing Crosbys. And they wound up going to hell. You can't mix darkness and light together. The Bible said the salvation of God is sent to the poor. How hardly shall they that have riches inherit the kingdom? I'm not trying to get the doctrine, the dentist, and the lawyer. God said for me to preach the gospel to them, and I have. And I preached the gospel to the judges and different ones till I've seen tears come out of their eyes. But that ain't got nothing to do with it. Not many mighty are called. Maybe one or two will be converted. And when they're converted, they'll turn away from their evil, devilish ways and give their heart to God. They won't keep on in the frolics of the world. They'll get away from that kind of thing. God sent salvation to the poor. And because he knew that that system out there wasn't going to have salvation, he gave Esau that land and made them judges and doctors and dentists and all the great things of the world. The Bible said that in the days of Cain back there, that his people were great people as artificers and brass and musicians and all kind of things back there. And he said, wait a minute, musicians. Yeah, musicians. Takes in musicians too, rock and roll musicians. There's some godly ones according to the Holy Scriptures. Now, so then all your great talents, all your great businessmen, all your great powers and all of those great things out there, where do they come from? The devil. That's where they come from. Satan is the prince of this world. But folks, salvation is sent to the poor. I've got men here that if you'd wanted to, you could have been great out there. You started in that world out there. You had a business. Holt, I've got some here that was well on their way, had money in the bank, was well on their way, but they turned around when God called them. You follow me? All right, so then God said salvation is sent to the poor. the gospel is preached to all people throughout the world for a witness, that they may be guilty in the day of the judgment. But salvation is sent to the poor, because the rich won't have it, and how hardly shall they that have riches inherit or enter into the kingdom of God. Look at Bean Crosby. Why didn't Bean Crosby put his money to the exchanges for God? You know why? Because he loved that prestige. He loved that name of being wealthy and rich. He loved the convenience of this world. Foolishly loved it. All right. As it is written, he that gathered much had no lack, and he that gathered little or had no lack, and he that gathered much had nothing left over to put in the bank. I add the last part, not to the scriptures, but an explanation. He had nothing left over because he saw too great a need in them that had lack, starving to death out yonder. Now, if you can sit around and put $1,000 in the bank, and this is going to draw a close line. Somebody said, that old Bean Crosby, $400 million, and them people starving to death. I'm talking about that old man that's got $300 in the bank, and them folks starving to death. That's the fellow I'm talking about. You're just as bad off as Bean Crosby. If you can lay $300 up in the bank and say, well, I got to keep this in case of a rainy day, you're just as guilty as Bean Crosby. You go just as far into hell as Bean Crosby will. You must do something for God, and whatever you got, you're going to have to put it to the exchanges for God and forget about keeping money in the bank, or either get away from God and away from holiness, away from salvation, and go with the world. You're going to have to get on one side or another, because we're coming to the day when God is drawing a line. It's just like it was when they was down there at the Alamo and William Travis drawed the line. And when William Travis drawed the line, he said, everybody that's with me, get on this side. That's the way God is. Moses drawed the line and said, everybody that's with me, strap your sword on your side and get on this side. And God done away with the rest of them. So then, that's the way it is, children of God. We've got to get away from this thing about talking about Billy Graham and all of these people and what they're going to do, and Oral Roberts and different ones, how that they're all going to go to heaven when they're going to go to hell. We're going to have to get away from it. If the Bible is right, they're going to go to hell. If the Bible isn't right, then let's forget about it and all just do whatever we want to, eat, drink, be merry, because we're going to die. But if the Bible is right, let's preach the Bible and let's call darkness darkness and light light. And when it says people are going to go to hell, then let the people go to hell and stay with the Christian people and tell them that they're going to go to heaven. That's the way I see it. Somebody said, well, I think Oral Roberts will go to heaven. Well, I think you're mistaken. I think Oral Roberts will go to hell. If Oral Roberts don't repent of his sins and get straightened out, Oral Roberts will go to hell. Somebody said, Brother Pike, how can that be? Because that's what the Bible says. Somebody say, he's done all of them great things, and you think he'll go to hell. The Bible said if you do righteously and then you turn and do wickedly, all of your righteousness shall not be remembered. In your sins you shall die. Brother, when you stand there before God and you say, God, but I've done all of these things, God will say, but my word said. You understand what I'm saying? So then that's the way it is. If you do wickedly and turn and do righteously, God will save you. But brother, if you don't live right, you're going to go to hell. You can preach predestination or whatever you want to, but I'm telling you what the Word of God said. He said, preach the Word. He that God sendeth will speak God's Word. Now, if he's not sent of God, he'll make it convenient for you. He'll figure out how you can watch a little television on the side, and he'll say there's no need of getting beside yourself. Like I said, Paul said, you're beside yourself, son. He'll tell you don't need to get beside yourself. You can watch a little television, listen to a little worldly music, a little rock and roll. You can fellowship with the worldly people, and you can go down to the beach and you can frolic a little bit on the beach in your bathing suit, and you can do a little bit of this and all that other fanaticism. You know where it comes from? A bunch of hypocrites. Where it comes from. When you hear a lying tongue speaking like that, you know that's a devil and an evil spirit. Get away from it. There's one thing, holiness or hell. That fellow had it right. One of the greatest sermons that was ever preached was that fellow that preached holiness or hell, because that's what it is. There's two ways. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, and if you don't see the Lord, you're going to go to hell. All right, so we believe in holiness. How do we believe in holiness? Let me see your hand. All right, perfecting holiness unto God in the fear of God. Now, if the people want to live holy, I don't care where they're at, who they are, and what church they are, if they'll live holy, they'll go to heaven. But it's my conviction that you can't stay very clean in a hog pen. You might be a dove, and a dove is clean and pure. They've got an oil that comes out from their body that cleanses them. But you can't stay clean in a hog pen. A dove couldn't stay clean in a hog pen. So it's my conviction, if you've got any kind of holiness, you'll get away from those worldly churches and those worldly ways. You can't sit down and talk to somebody and that person talk about every filthy, evil thing there is, sit and watch television with them and all these other things and still be a Christian. You can't do it. Somebody said, well, it don't bother me. It don't bother you because you're a hog like the rest of them. If you wasn't a hog, it would bother you. If you wasn't a hog, it would bother you. You couldn't stay over a stink all the time if you're a human being without getting away from the thing. But if you're a hog, it doesn't bother you a bit. Jesus said, wash the hog and he'll go back to his wallowing in the mire because that's his appetite. The dog will go back to lapping his vomit because he's a dog. But folks, if you're clean and holy, it bothers you. It gets on your nerves. So the Bible said that the man was vexed. Lot was vexed down in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was vexed down there because of their evil, filthy ways. All right, you say that's a hard message. That's the only message, folks. There ain't nothing hard about that message. That's just the truth. It's hard on the old flesh because it kills it and crucifies the old man. All right, stand together with me. I felt like exhorting you, talking to you about Jesus. I have seen in the last little bit that some of you have got mighty careless. Different things is happening and going on, and you need to get away from it. You need to live clean, folks. You need to live holy. Get away from those evil, devilish things. Straighten your life up. Don't be warped up in your mind and warp everybody else up that comes to talk with you. Don't make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell than he was before they ever met you. Be a man of God. Be holiness. And let people know that they're going to have to live holy. I know that you have to feed them a little bit at a time. Sometimes when people don't know anything, you have to be easy with them and work with them a little bit. Now, I understand that, but you can't use that as a crutch and say, well, they don't know anything, and I just didn't tell them anything. Because you're in the same condition they're in. You tell them something. They might not know anything, but you can tell them something. And let them know that you believe in holiness. Somebody will say, what are you? I'm Church of God. What are you? I'm Pentecostal. What are you? I'm Methodist. I'm Baptist. But it's hard to find somebody say, I'm holiness. I'm holiness. I'm a holiness person. I'm a Christian. And Christians are holiness people. God is the Holy Spirit. And there is no other spirit but the Holy Spirit that is God. And He's the only source of life. We're so dignified. You ever seen as a kid, they used to talk about the dirty, clean people. What is it, you know? Is it dirty as they can be, you know? And like people, what they call funny people. You understand what I mean? Paul spoke about being the last great sin. Filthy, dirty, and low down in their communications. But when they sit at the table, they've got all the dainties. Everything just so, you know. Clean, dirty people. You understand what I'm talking about? That's the world for you. Dirty and filthy and can't wash the stains off. And yet they got all the etiquettes of life and all the dainties of life. The Bible speaks of it in the book of Revelation, said you won't have any more your dainties. Won't have any more of your fine linens, and you won't have any more of your fine glassware and all of your pretties. Said all of it is gone. All right, so it sounds hard, but it's the right thing. I want my people to know the truth. I got to stand before God someday, and God will look right straight down at me that day. And He'll want to know what I stood for. Folks, this is what I stand for. Want to know what I stand for in that day? This is what I stand for. Now, whatever you stand for, that's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you something. Be sure that Billy Graham or George Pike or Oral Roberts or Elijah or Moses or Abraham or whatever, when they stand with a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, a Catholic, or the Pope or whoever, when they stand before God, there won't be any changes. There won't be any alterations. There won't be any special people that have prestige because they belong to the first church. There won't be any silliness and foolishness like that. It'll be one thing. The book will be open and God will read, just as he said over there when the Holy Spirit spoke through John the Baptist's daddy, said, "And I have ordained that you serve me in righteousness and holiness all the days of your life." That's what you'll meet at the judgment. All right, so I love you and I want to help you. That's why I tell you the truth. Paul said, "Because I tell you the truth, am I then become your enemy? You hate me rather than love me because I tell you the truth. But I love you just the same. Though you hate me," Paul said, "I love you the more." I love you, but it is the truth. And I want you to do something, folks. Let's put some legs on our prayers, as somebody has one time said, and get in these offices and do things and stop playing around. And let's get the magazine out. That radio program that will help us to reach 700,000 people. I don't know who typed the name for it, but somebody typed the name that went on that Harvester Herald, that went to that particular radio station, that we now have a year paid for, 30 minutes per week, of reaching 700,000 people. Some weary fingers that hit a typewriter typed the name for that. Who? I don't know, but there's one thing about it. 50,000 of them going out, if you didn't reach 700,000, at least you reach somebody. You reach one. Somebody said, "Well, might not have reached one. He might have thrown it in the garbage can. The garbage man could have got it." But you say, "Well, he might not have got it." Well, there's one thing about it. It had to pass through the post office before it got there. So see, it's doing some good any way you look at it. And that's what we want to do. Over 100,000 of them gone throughout the United States. And we're waiting to carry on another 50,000. And I hope that we won't procrastinate, because, folks, it's needed. Let's sing this little chorus together. "What I say to one, Jesus said, I say to all. I have no certain person in mind, none at all. But I feel like there's a number of you here that needs to hear what I said and know that God has a system and God has a way." You know, this is pathetic. I don't have to bring somebody in from abroad to preach to. I've got people right here in my midst that have been baptized in Jesus' name, and they're just as wishy-washy and half-hearted as they could be. They don't no more have a real conviction of being in holiness and really getting away from Trinity and getting into a real one God message than nothing. They're just as wishy-washy and up and down as they can be. I'd be ashamed of myself. If I was going to be so mixed up and wishy-washy, I'd go back out there with them. If that's right out there, then you don't need to be over here. You need to be out there with them. But brother, let me tell you something. When God opened my eyes and showed me the truth, I knew that was wrong and I ain't been back to it. Don't want to go back to it and have no desire to go back to it. No questions in my mind as to whether it's right or not. I know it's wrong. I know it for over 20 years. I still know it. I'm thankful to God that He delivered me out of it.